The judge says, Kenny says, well, that's no defense. He said, there's an implied contract. The man is sick of a heart attack and a doctor is called. There's an implied contract for medical services. And is that all the defense you've got, counsel? That's all I got. Well, I'm going to award judgment for the plaintiff, $5 cost. I'm on my feet, Your Honor. I just paid the guy $10 in cost for the motion. Oh, that was the motion. You lost the motion, but you won the trial. I said, I can't win the trial and lose the motion, because the motion was that there shouldn't even been a trial because there's no defense. That's right, there's no defense, and you win. That's all, judgment for the plaintiff, and he starts off the bench. I said, Your Honor, can I make a motion? She says, you can do anything you want. So I rushed back to my office. I got out the statute. The statute says, among other things, that if a motion for summary judgment be made and denied on the basis of an affidavit of merit, even, and it should then appear at the trial that the motion should have been granted because, in fact, there was no defense, then not only should the plaintiff have judgment, but he shall have treble costs as a discipline for the improper affidavit of merits having been filed. So I prepare my motion. I want treble costs. I go back, file it with Kenny, and show him the statute and the court rule and so forth that entitles me to it. And he says, you're not going to get that from me. If you want to take it up to the circuit court, you can. They read all those books and they do all that law stuff up there. I just make decisions about people's, you know, cases between the good, you know, the good guys and the bad guys. That's all I do. And so we don't do those fancy things in my courtroom. That was what came down. Well, I went back to the office, and of course the only thing I could do, we're never going to collect a dime of this $80 from this deadbeat anyway.
Yeah.
But I called the bank and stopped payment on the check, so I at least saved the $10.
And
at this time I was working for Kenny Radom and Rockwell. Due course of time, Mr. Kenny himself came into my office some months later, and he said, you stopped payment on a check you gave to a lawyer in open court? I said, I sure did. Why, you can't do that. That's unethical. That's, you know. I said, the hell it is. And I said, what's unethical is this lying son of a bitch that comes in to court and defends when he and hasn't got a defense and doesn't file an affidavit of merits when the court rule requires him to do so, and then insists that he won't go forward until I pay the cost that he's not entitled to. Well, I never heard of such a thing as stopping payment on a check to another lawyer. And I said, well, sue me. So I understood years later that old man Kenny made up the $10. to this guy Maurice Sherry, but they never got it out of me. Anyway, I tell you the story because a young lawyer, the perspective of a young lawyer in a busy court like that was that there was a lot of injustice. And there was. The game wasn't being played by the books. It was being played by the guts of these old-timers who, by and large, administered pretty decent level of visceral justice. It was self-government in its raw form. It worked. These people were being reelected year after year. They were popular. They had the prestige of being judges. They did get the cases decided and moved the docket, cleared out the assignment clerk's room full of people every morning. But it was very unsatisfying to a young lawyer who thought that the thing should have been played the way he learned it in law school. And one of the things that I decided was that when I got to be a judge, I was always going to make a statement from the bench about what caused me to make the decision that I made one way or the other.